Hey there. Hi there. Ho there. This is the Adorable Boy Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a while. We're so glad to see you. We're here to do what we do best. You're there to do what you do best. And that's enjoy this podcast. Yes, it is the Adorable Boy Spud, your fearless leader. Still looking for those other adorable boys. Hashtag bring them home. Behind the glass, we have the incomparable Mr. Frankenbeans. Yes, that was kind of abrupt there, Frank, but that's okay. Welcome to this newest edition of the Adorable Boy Podcast. I mean, we have so much to do. I think we should just get right into it. We got so much news to talk about, so many things, your favorite bits, and even some new ones. Vito, the vegan Guido, is here. He's got something new. We're excited. We're not all that optimistic, but we're excited for Vito's contribution. He's looking at me outside. He's fine, though. All right. Well, just been, you know, doing what I do, enjoying things, ready to come back here, enjoying things. That was pretty vague. You know, just charity work and you know, physical fitness. It's a big part of my life. And yeah, just getting ready, getting the right mindset to give you the content that you want, the content that you need, the content that the world needs. And that's what you get here from the Adorable Boy Podcast. Okay, now as I said, I've been, you know, keeping my physical fitness up as I always do. And there's always, I always listen to things, sometimes music, sometimes audiobooks. I always listen to things while I'm exercising. Lately, for quite a few months actually, probably since around August, I've been deeply ensconced in what they call the Dabbleverse. And I figured I should bring it to my adorable boy disciples. There's millions strong. The Dabbleverse is a whole group of shows. I'm going to explain the whole thing to you here. You're not going to need anything else. And maybe some of you will become fans of these shows. You know, you can listen to them in addition to this. None of them are as good as this. Though there are some great ones, some great people, some very funny people. A lot of you might know some of these people. Maybe you don't. But it's kept me busy, this Dabbleverse. So here, why not start? I have a whole list here just to guide my thoughts, some genius writings on this paper. I'm going to follow it. And then you'll know all you need to know about the Dabbleverse. And that right now I'm going to take a drink of water. So I want you to hear me enjoy it. Yeah, that's what we call greatness fuel. And I'm screwing on the cap to the greatness fuel. All right, so the Dabbleverse. Now, where did it get its name? To understand that, we're going to have to explain one of the bigger figures of the Dabbleverse, a man named Stuttering John Melendez. Some of you, again, might know who this guy is. He was on the Howard Stern radio show. He started off as an intern back in the 80s, and he was on there until, I want to say, 2004. Frankenbeans, you have a clip. Okay, Frankenbeans wants to play this clip. He thinks it describes Stuttering John, and I actually haven't heard this yet, but he wants to play it, so I trust his judgment. Here we go. Go ahead, Frankenbeans.
I sense great vulnerability. A man-child crying out for love, an innocent orphan in the postmodern world.
I see a parasite. A sexually depraved miscreant who is seeking only to gratify his basest and most immediate urges.
His struggle is man's struggle. He lifts my spirit.
He is a loathsome, offensive brute. Yet I can't look away.
He transcends time and space.
He sickens me.
I love it.
All right. Well, that was a clip from Seinfeld. Thank you, Frankenbeans. That was pretty poignant. I would agree in a lot of what the man was saying. Stuttering John, and again, I'm just basing this off his radio persona. He seemed like a guy who would do whatever it takes to get over on people. Not a man of any, you know, real talent, it doesn't seem to me. Though, I mean, admittedly, he's gotten far on basically nothing. He had a record deal back in the early 90s. He's been in a movie or two, and a TV show. He was in Wings. He was in Airheads, the movie, very, very, very briefly. But he's, I forget who it was, but it was someone talking about him recently who said that he's the kind of guy that as soon as he meets someone new, he evaluates, you know, how they can help him in his life. So if it's someone who's rich, he'll suck up to them. If it's someone who's, you know, maybe meek, he will, he'll identify them as someone to insult to get in the favor of other people. Doesn't seem like a very good man from what I've seen. A very, very weird, in my opinion. Very bitter. And he's bitter. Part of the reason he left Howard Stern in 2004 to go to be the announcer for The Tonight Show. And he was that for a little while, but it didn't last long. And then they made him like a writer, but he wasn't really a writer, you know. He's not really all that talented at writing, it doesn't seem. And he went off that show, I guess 2008 or 9, I don't know. And since then, I mean, it seems, and from, he does a podcast now. He's not even a, I guess he's a Kowtower. I don't know. He's not even on my radar, really, other than the Dabbleverse. So from what I can tell, he lives alone in an apartment. And the thing is, you know, if he had stayed on the Howard Stern show, he probably would be pretty well off right now. You know, he would have made money and more money and more money every year. Probably would have went over to Satellite. But he didn't stay. He went over to The Tonight Show. And Jay Leno, it seemed like he just wanted to take one of Howard Stern's guys and then realize that John, you know, really offered nothing. Frankie Beans, is my microphone too loud? You lower it on the board? Thank you. Yeah, that's good. He probably realized, Leno realized, you know, he really has no use for him other than, you know, sticking it to Howard. And John should have realized, you know, his best spot was on the Howard Stern show. But he left. And, you know, so we have this guy living in an apartment in California, I think, which in itself isn't bad, you know, but what he could have had. He had a family. He divorced his wife at some point. His kids, they're scattered, I think. Some live in, I don't know where they live. They don't live near him, though. I'm fairly certain. He says he sees them all the time. Sometimes he doesn't. He's an unreliable narrator, really. He drinks, and he admitted to drinking, like, I don't know, a lot of beer. You know, he drinks a lot. Every podcast, he's drinking during the podcast, which, again, I live clean, and I would never soil my podcast with alcohol. But, you know, to each his own, I guess. So that's what you need to know about Stuttering John. That's where he is right now. He does a podcast in his apartment and is quite bitter, and that's it. So the name Dabbleverse comes from an interview he did with a comedian who has a podcast named Chrissy Mayer, and she said that he dabbled in stand-up, which he really did. He would, from the accounts that I've heard, he would go on stage, introduce more famous comedians, and that was the show. And he considered himself a stand-up, but I don't know anyone else who would consider that being a stand-up. So she said he dabbled in stand-up, and he got offended, and that's where the name Dabbleverse came from. All right, so we'll move on to the next one. We got Stuttering John there. Keep him in your mind. Next one is a podcast called Who Are These Podcasts? A guy named Carl does it, and he has friends. I've listened to it a few times. Basically, what they used to do is make fun of it was Jocktober, like Opie and Anthony used to do, and Cornettober, like, you know, in the same vein that we do. But he did Opie a lot from Opie and Anthony, his new podcast, which is nonsense. He made fun of Stuttering John a lot. Those are the two main guys. The concept started out as making fun of bad podcasts, but it really settled on Opie and Stuttering John, and then really Stuttering John. I've listened to a few. They're okay. He's not a broadcaster, you know. I don't dislike the guy. I'm not a huge fan of his podcast. You know, there's a reason we don't do Cornettober for 2 hours a day every day or every week. You know, we do a little bit. It's you know, research and just my innate talent and ability to know what the fans want. They don't want Cornettober, you know, all the time. And that's kind of what Carl does. And as far as broadcasting goes, you know, he doesn't have golden pipes like me, and that's fine. You know, it's about the content. You know, if you're not the most technically gifted orator, good word, It's not a big deal. But his delivery is kind of rushed. And one of the things about Jocktober that Opie and Anthony did was they were always very effortless about it. They would make fun of these shows, and it was basically effortless. And with Carl, it's very uptight and you know, you need to find this funny. This is why this is funny. You know, you not just serving the fans the content, which is what I do with all my content. You know, I'm like, this is what I'm giving you. I know you'll love it. End of story. With him, it's like, oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? You know, kind of beating you over the head with it. Again, I got no problem with the guy. His podcast is moderately entertaining, just not really my thing. So basically, he makes fun of Stuttering John a lot. And that is, who are these podcasts? Then you have another podcast on the Shuley Network. Shuley Egar, stand-up comedian, used to be... I like this guy a lot, you know, all told, from what I see, you know, what I've seen him in. I don't know him personally. Stand-up comedian. He used to be a caller to the Howard Stern Show and parlay that into a job, which isn't an easy thing to do, you know. I've never seen his stand-up. I think he's a funny guy, though, from what I know of him. He has a podcast network, obviously the Shuley Network, Shuley Egar, Shuley. And he has really two main shows. There's the BS show, which is a morning show he does, and then he has the Uncle Rico show, which is an afternoon show he does. The BS show is kind of more of your general topic, you know, podcast, daily podcast. They stream live. You should listen to them on YouTube, the Shuley Network. Go subscribe. And then the Uncle Rico show is an afternoon show they do, and that's all about Stuttering John. They basically play Stuttering John's podcast and make fun of it. On both of those shows, he has a guy named Reverend Bob Levy. Bob Levy's a legend in comedy, just amazing. A huge fan of his. Then they have a guy named Mike Morse. Mike Morse, I'm not 100% sure of his background. I know he used to call in to the Howard Stern Show a lot and used to do parody songs. Really funny guy. Very talented. He's a musician. I don't know, professional or not, but whatever. He's one of those guys, they call him Silent Mike. Because he does have kind of a... He doesn't talk when he doesn't need to. And that's really... He's a high percentage guy. Which in radio, you know, with my... You know, all my experience, those high percentage guys are who you want on your show. So Mike Morse is a very funny guy. He is on both of the shows I mentioned on the Shuley Network. And then you have a guy named Anthony Zenhauser. He's usually only on the BS show in the morning. Sometimes he'll do the afternoon show. He's a very funny comedian. You know, love him. He's in the vein of kind of the role of Artie Lang, you know, Jim Norton kind of thing in radio. The third mic comedian. Very funny guy. Very funny stand-up. Should go out and see him. And basically, they're on both of those shows that I mentioned. And I like both of those shows. I know what I said about, you know, the earlier one. About, you know, doing kind of Jocktober, but, you know, an hour a day, 5 days a week. They make it work, though, especially with that Uncle Rico show. The Uncle Rico show solely focuses on John. And, you know, I would worry that maybe, you know, it's not all that smart to focus on one guy every episode. Cornettober coming up later, by the way. Very special Cornettober. So I would worry about focusing on one guy, focusing your attack on one guy, but it's working right now. And when it doesn't work, I guess they'll stop. You know, but I think they're talented enough. Because even on the BS show, they talk about a lot of different stuff. A lot of times they still talk about stuff in the Dabbleverse, though, Stuttering John and other guys who we'll get to. Yeah, but the Shuley Network, I love it. A big fan, listen every day. Sometimes I super chat. I like what they do, you know? Very good. I highly recommend it. All right, so that now we have Stuttering John. We have Who Are These Podcasts? And we have the Shuley Network. I'm going to have a drink of some greatness sauce. Why don't you, you know, digest what you've just been told? I don't remember what I called this earlier. It was only a few minutes ago. But whatever, excellence drink or excellence sauce, whatever. I'm drinking water. Mm-mm. All right, now the next one in the Dabbleverse, we're gonna go to Misery Loves Company, MLC. A guy named Kevin Brennan, very funny stand-up, used to work for Saturday Night Live. You know, he's been around comedy for a long time. Anyone in the biz knows him. I don't know if we had him on the show a long time. It was in the 90s. I don't know, though. We might have back when we were in Decatur. I don't know. Anyway, Kevin is a funny guy. He's always mad at someone. That's how it works. And everyone's always mad at him. Kevin doesn't like basically all the podcasts that I mentioned earlier. He doesn't like John, though he goes in and out on that. But really, that's John, because John's an idiot. Hates Shuley, hates Carl. Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. And his show is, you know, he has some pretty good guests. He has some guest comedians, a guy named Ray DeVito, who also has a podcast. He's kind of an ancillary guy. We'll get to him and that group later. Kevin Brennan is always screaming, and but he's funny. He's just a funny guy. He's just him saying regular things. For some reason, he has a funny way about it. And he's always feuding with someone. But yeah, Kevin Brennan, Misery Loves Company podcast, maybe my favorite show in the Dabbleverse. I don't have a lot to say about it because, I mean, I pretty much said what his show is, but it is very good. All right, and then we have another. Now, I don't listen to this one. It's called Nobody Likes Onions. And apparently this guy's been doing it since like 2005, so kudos to him. We were still on terrestrial radio back then. We had yet to take over terrestrial podcasting, as we have now. I never watched this guy's show. I've seen him on other shows, and he's funny. He does it at weird times, I think. I'm just not kind of in the loop. He's a former stand-up, and he likes to make fun of other shows. And he's pretty funny, too. Part of the Dabbleverse. What else? There's Steel Toe Morning Show. I've never watched that, but I've seen clips, and it looks awful. It's a guy and his wife. Nobody Likes Onions makes fun of Steel Toe all the time. It's one of his big adversaries. So I don't know if you could call it that. I don't listen. I don't really care about, you know, I can't tell you much about Steel Toe. I know they do long shows, and like, they do multiple shows a day. Then we have, who else do we have? Pretty much it for all the shows. You have a whole bunch of ancillary characters who also have their own podcast. The guy Ray DeVito, stand-up comedian, funny guy. Interesting, a little weird, but funny. You have a guy, Pat Dixon, has a show every night at 11. Probably my favorite show in the Dabbleverse. I think Kevin Brennan might be the funniest guy in the Dabbleverse. Pat Dixon's right there with him, though, and I like his show a little better. I don't know why, I just do. He kind of has a semi co-host named Doug Nelson, Mr. Nailsin. I think his Twitter is at Mr. Nailsin. Really great, great voice, great radio voice. Funny guy, likable. The Pat Dixon show, misspoke there. Great show. Listen to it all the time. Then you have the ancillary characters. You have Ray DeVito. You have this guy named Stevie Lou who resembles Skeletor and just kind of annoys me, kind of a know-it-all, not really too important to spend much time on. There's a guy named Vince the Lawyer who kind of trolls Starting John all the time. I've never listened to his show, but he'll send him like DoorDash and Ubers, and he'll send him like one beer and like tape. Or it's really funny what he sends him and just interrupts his show, and John gets really mad, and that's really funny. All right, going down the list, Casey Armstrong used to be on the Howard Stern Show. Seems like a really great guy. Used to be a producer for Howard Stern. Funny guy, interesting guy, odd guy. You know, some have called me odd, so that's definitely don't mean that as an insult. Casey Armstrong has a show that he does pretty regularly. Funny guy. I would, you know, suggest listening to him. And I think that's it for the Dabbleverse. And my final, you know, I just wanted to introduce you all to this Dabbleverse, what I've been listening to. And I guess the final, it seems like a transient period, but it seems like it's going to the next place, you know, where entertainment is going. You know, we're doing our podcast. We don't live stream. We might live stream in the future. Who knows? But this is kind of, you know, radio has been dead, basically. I mean, terrestrial radio has been dead for 20, 15 years, 10 years. Satellite radio has been dead for about 5 to 10, let's be honest. This is the new way. This is the new thing, and it fulfills the people who loved radio back in the day, myself included. this kind of fills in that hole for them, I think. So it might be transient, the one show hating on another, but yet, I mean, that could be the evolution of the genre. You have instant interaction with your fans. They can tell you who they hate. You can respond. You can watch someone you hate. They call it snipe streaming. You can watch someone you hate as they're going. So that's kind of a whole new kind of, you know, like what we do in Cornettober if we were to watch it live and comment, which, you know, maybe we'll do. So that's the importance of this, because as a person who loves, obviously, I've been in it for over 3 decades, the medium, you know, this is the evolution of it, in my opinion. And while, you know, people making fun of this Stuttering John guy is going to last forever, or even a long time, this way of entertainment can. It's convenient. It's cost effective. I mean, you have some people who donate a lot. Some people don't have to donate at all. You know, so it can be free for you, but you can also support the people you like to make the show even better. You know, we don't need that. We're obviously, you know, pretty solvent here. I hope that's the right word. But I just wanted to spend some time. That's how important this issue is to me. This Dabbleverse concept, what they're actually doing, the spirit of it, seems to me where entertainment is going. People still love, you know, listening to long form talk. They do. And you can watch it if you want. I would say most people probably don't just sit there watching it, because there's a video component to all this, but you're just, you know, looking at the people. And, you know, one last thing on this Dabbleverse. It's always said that Howard Stern is the most influential person in radio, but and I'm considering this genre, this streaming entertainment and podcast, you know, radio just evolved. Where it's going, I don't think that's true anymore. Howard Stern was big on, you know, the audio bits, which rarely people do anymore. We do, you know, we do it great, better than anyone, really. But it's not done. People can't do it well, so they don't. They don't step to the masters, if I can speak urban for a moment. I would say the people who've had the biggest influence on this going forward were Opie and Anthony, because Opie and Anthony, if you didn't listen to them, they did a show, and they always said, you know, it's kind of cringy, but they would say it's like a hang, but it really was. It was informal. Comedians would come in, celebrities would come in, and it was as informal as it could be. And they would talk, and it would be interesting, and they would give a form of an interview. But it wasn't like Howard Stern is now and has been for a long time. Formal interview, you know, this very, very laid out. It's not that anymore. That isn't this. Opie and Anthony bred all of this. And I think that's where it's going in the future. Not only the casual nature of it, but also the making fun of other radio shows consistently. Howard Stern did that, yes, definitely. But he only did it when he had like an actual enemy. Opie and Anthony would do it for an entire month every year and do shows that no one ever heard of, but were awful. So this where this is going, the Howard Stern way, is falling apart. It's falling to the wayside, let me say. Better. I'm going to need some more excellence juice in a while. That's a warning. But the Howard Stern way is falling to the wayside, and the Opie and Anthony way is the way. So I just think they should get the credit for that. You know, they were one of the greatest radio shows ever. And in the future, things are going more their way than any other way. And that's my thoughts on the Dabbleverse. Love to hear your thoughts on the Dabbleverse. You can hit us up on Twitter. My social media team, hard at work, as always. All right, now that we got that out of the way, I'm going to have some more greatness sauce, and they're going to tell you where we're going next. Like a patient lover, I'm going to hold your hand. Hand, I said that weird, through this entire podcast. Let's have some more greatness juice. You digest what I just talked about. Mm-mm. All right. Is it time, Frankenbeans? Is it time for what everyone's been waiting for? Frankenbeans, you there? Okay, he was out of his position for a second, which is unacceptable. Are you ready, Frankenbeans? Hit it. The boys will win the fight. Cornet kowtows in the night. I remember Cornettober this day. Cornet goes down. Adorable boys will take the crown.
I remember Cornetober.
It was a little loud there, Frankie Beans. Could we please get on the ball? I was just enjoying some greatness juice, but I'm going to be honest with you. My enjoyment was interrupted by Frankenbean's skullduggery. I don't know if that's a word. I'm sure it isn't, actually. But that was too loud. Okay, Cornetober, everyone. Yes, we haven't forgotten this war on kowtowing. We will not allow kowtowing. We will fight kowtowing in all its forms. Now, this is a very special edition of Cornetober. I'm just going to let the clip play, and we're going to talk about it. Right, Frankenbeans? Okay. You have the clip there, Frankie Beans, or do I need to get it up? You need me to put it up? Okay, hold on. Oh, Frankie Beans. Frankie Beans. All right, I got to pick this up. There we go. All right. Now. Okay. We are ready, Frankie Beans. I'm playing it. All right, so this is a clip from the Cornette podcast. I don't know when it's from. It's from some point. It doesn't matter. Here we go. Oh, you know what? I will give it a little bit of an introduction. Apparently, the Cornette podcast has, it's been like a 15-part series he has on some guy that I think did some dirty dealings with the Cornette podcast. I don't know if it's true or not. That's their what they're saying, but I just want to highlight something here. Play it. I might enjoy some awesome juice. Excellence juice. Is that what I called it? Water. While you listen, and then I'll help you. Help you understand exactly what's going on. Like a patient lover. I keep saying that. Okay, here we go. I'm hitting the Frankie Beans. All right, here we go.
There have been a lot of questions recently from the listeners. You may have noticed a few disruptions in the podcast feed, the podcast schedule. You may have noticed that the advertisers and the very, very popular conversations we have about them have been out of the show for the last little while.
All right, I'm pausing. Hold on. You know, he just said interruptions in the podcast feed, whatever. If there's one thing I cannot stand, it's an inconsistently done podcast. I won't allow it. I hate it. If you're going to do your podcast, you owe it to your fans to be consistent and to be predictable. Just one of the many ways that Cornette goes wrong. Okay, I'm hitting it again, Frankenbeans. I got to tell him so he knows. It's very technical radio stuff. It's fine. All right, here we go.
There have been less commercials in the show the last little while, and this is because of a situation that emerged between us, Arcadian Vanguard and Jim Cornette, and a company that was handling our advertising called Cast Media. And was that a good introduction?
Well, yeah, that basically lays it out there, and here's the problem.
No, it wasn't a good introduction. It was terrible. It was kowtowy, if I may say so myself. All right, keep going.
And I mentioned this a couple months ago, probably when this first became an issue and we had to start making some changes. As it, you and I, some people call us control freaks. I kind of say that we are picky. We're picky about what we do and
boring as hell.
Our programs. And that's why that we
goodness gracious
do everything ourselves or in-house.
Unlike in-house. Yeah, we get it.
Many other podcasts, programs, whatever, mm-hmm. We're not with a network.
Maybe that's why it's terrible.
And we own all of our content. Great. And we are our own producers.
No, no
and
one
we
cares.
Decide what we say and talk about and what
no,
we don't.
No, you don't. You're a cow.
And
tower.
Even our editing and
the
our
gods
administrative
of decide for you.
Technical support. They work for us. They're Kippelman.
Oh, I feel bad for
you. And old Jay Sharknado and so many
having
more.
Having you.
They're highly paid, yeah, highly I'm trained sure. stooges.
Oh, that's how you look at
they're very
hold on. You know, you got to give respect. Frankie Beans doesn't know how to talk into a microphone. I would never dream of calling him a stooge. Vito the Vegan Guido is, you know, I mean, I shudder to think what his IQ is. I would never call him a stooge. No respect for his people, and it's sad. It really is. All right, keep going. Now they're talking about basically it was they laid out kind of what the deal is, but here let's let them keep going.
They're not stooges in any way. Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
They do as we
do. Too little, too late, co-host.
Now they're not just run of the mill stooges. They're not the three stooges. They're highly paid, highly trained, highly sought after stooges.
Plus, you just named two of them.
For their
stooge
work,
huh?
I'm going to skip a little bit of this. Shut up.
So the point is, as I mentioned a couple months ago,
but
didn't go into detail about. There was one weak link in the chain, one outside entity that we had come to rely on because we had no reason for quite some time to not rely on him.
Shut up.
And that was this weasel I asked Miz on our program's advertising.
All right. So I just skipped a little bit there. They do, he's just saying they do everything by themselves, which, you know, I guess I'm not surprised. They probably have a some sort of monkey doing everything the way it sounds. I still wouldn't call that monkey a stooge, though. I'll tell you that much. But anyway, so except for this advertising thing or whatever, that's what they're saying. They do everything themselves except for this advertising thing.
But as to paraphrase Jerry Seinfeld, it's not the selling of the advertising. It's the paying for the advertising. And suddenly, there was no paying for our advertising. Not from our fine sponsors, who have been upset as we were about this disruption of service. They paid him, and he didn't pay us. Have I summed that up correctly, Brian?
No, it's terrible.
You have summed it up. There's like a lot of detail. We should note,
Cornette,
we're not unique in this situation.
Yeah, you're not.
There are other shows, pretty much all the shows under the umbrella.
All right. So, long and boring and drawn out as it is, he finally said it. They got into some deal with this guy who apparently did advertising. He got paid by the advertisers, but he didn't pay these podcasts. Not just the Jim Cornette podcast, but other ones too. And hey, you know, I have no reason to doubt they're telling the truth here, because they really go into it. I'm not going to subject you to it, but they make, you know, pretty serious allegations against this guy and accusations of his character. So if they were lying, I don't think they're stupid enough to do that, because that would get them into real trouble. So anyway, but here's the thing. Guess what, Jim? If you don't kowtow, if you don't lower yourself, you don't meet these unsavory characters. Everything is done right here in Adorable Boy headquarters, the Adorable Boy building. I sit atop an organization that is built on the hard labor of some of the most, not only hardworking people, but the most trustworthy and people full of integrity in all of Christendom. Yes, I will say that about my organization, from the janitorial staff right up to me and everything in between, the social media network, advertising, sales, everyone, the daycare center for the working moms that work here, the gym that we provide, the high-tech gym that we provide, that would put a lot of Division I college football teams' gyms to shame. That was an awkward sentence, but, you know, I'm excited. You know, so we build it, and we don't do business with any unsavory characters. You know why? Because this is the kind of stuff that happens. And, you know, and us not kowtowing, yeah, we don't kowtow because it's not just because it's the wrong thing to do, because it puts you in situations like this, Jim. I've been telling you over and over for 4 years now that the person you're kowtowing is hurting the most is yourself. So good luck with this legal battle. I'm sure you know, I hope you get everything coming to you. I really do. But maybe if you stop kowtowing, this kind of thing wouldn't happen. Not that you brought this on yourself, you know, in a literal way, but in a spiritual way. If you elevated your game, you would be above all this. And I sit here on top of my skyscraper that I own. You know, I go home to my stately manor. I go to one of my, you know, properties in Chula Vista, or, you know, I visit my mom. She lives in my property in Chula Vista. Or, you know, I'm looking to buy something in Tupelo, Mississippi now. You know, this is what you get when you do this. These are the houses that not kowtowing built, that quality content built. So try it, Jim. Just try it. I'm begging you. People would say you're my enemy and all that, but you're not really, because you're not really, you know, is an ant an enemy to a boot? No. You know, that's just how it is. So I just, this very special edition of Cornettober just seeks to highlight, you know, one of the many benefits of not being a kowtower. You know, you don't have to deal with stuff like that. Again, not that they did anything wrong. I'm sure they didn't. But just putting, kowtowing isn't illegal, you know what I mean? People should be free to kowtow. They just should be better than that. I guess that's my main my main point. So there we go. Cornetober once again. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Hit it, Frankie Beans.
The boys will win the fight. Cornet kowtows in the night. I remember Cornetober this day. Cornet goes down. Adorable boys will take the crown. I remember Cornetober.
Still loud. Frankie Beans, still loud. God bless you. Prime mover, bless you. All right. We got to take a break. It's been quite a while, but we got a lot done. I'm very proud of what we've done. The Adorable Boy Podcast, thank you so much for joining us. We will be right back after these words.
Basketball's been good to me, like picking me for the West All-Star team 3 years in a row. I've had it good that way. Once I was
on a podcast that was the voice of a generation, extremely funny, and much more.
Know who I was working for?
The Adorable Boy Podcast.
That's right, and they'll have that kind of job for you too. Call the
Adorable Boy Podcast
and see for yourself.
This fall, Nina brings the attitude back to daytime television.
Is your brother gay?
She's asking the question and getting the answers no one else gets.
I believe in that old thing, so the people shall know. So that's where I'm coming from. But is he gay?
This daytime queen isn't afraid to tell anyone what she thinks.
And I think that people are, again, I'm not saying that I'm happy that it's this way, but I feel that people are more comfortable with people who look like they look, who dress like they look, who listen to the same music, eat the same food,
boring,
do the same things they do.
If you're looking for a daytime show that covers all the hot topics, Nina has you covered.
Male sexual dysfunction.
Murder.
What does race really have to do with how we define ourselves as people? What are George and Wheezy doing now? Male sexual dysfunction.
Join us this fall as Nina takes back daytime TV.
Male sexual dysfunction.
Oh, and we're back, apparently. Thought we'd have a rejoiner there, Frankie Beans. No, you just put me on the air without telling me. Wonderful. All right, moving right along on the Adorable Boy Podcast. All right, we have, it is Sincere Apologia time. Sincere Apologia time. That's what I just said. Interesting. Okay, here we go. So if you're new to the podcast, and we get new listeners constantly, constantly growing, love it. But, you know, we've decided everyone has to apologize for things, so we're going to do it prophylactically. Good word. Eventually, we're going to have to apologize for things. We might as well get it out of the way, do it as much as we can so that we're safe when, you know, the mob comes for us. Okay, here we go. The Adorable Boy Podcast apologizes to supporters of Hamas. The Adorable Boy Podcast, purveyor of quality content, continues the heartfelt apology series with a letter of contrition to supporters of the terrorist group known as Hamas, especially the rich elite supporters who reside thousands of miles away from the war zone. Anytown, USA, February 2024. The wildly popular Adorable Boy Podcast offers a sincere and heartfelt apology to the supporters of murder. And I quote, "It seems insane, but there's actually people who support Hamas. In this modern climate, it's best just to get our apology out of on the record." Excuse me. End quote. Adorable Boy Spud offered as he signed autographs for sick children with his Dunhill Namiki Makey E. Motories limited edition pen. And I quote, "We understand that a solution has to be reached. Unlike Hamas supporters, we just don't think that kidnapping and murdering people is the way to get to that solution. As the war rages on in the Middle East, wealthy genocide enthusiasts throughout the country continue to support the terrorist tactics of Hamas without reservation. Mr. Adorableski, that's me, offered more insight as he diced onions for a charity potluck he's funding for the local homeless shelter on his John Boo's premium American black walnut cutting board. And I quote, "In the end, it's really down to one issue. Do we want civilization or do we not? If we do, Israel must win. But again, it's just smart to issue an apology to the blood-hungry, rich ne'er-do-wells who brainlessly support Hamas." The Adorable Boy podcast hopes for an end to this terrible war, but understand that a war against barbarism and evil of and the evil of Hamas is one worth fighting. Many bystanders thousands of miles away think that barbarism should win the day, and for that, the legendary shock jock is sincerely sorry. The Adorable Boy podcast traces its roots back more than three decades to the Adorable Boy radio show that was syndicated on multiple stations throughout the country. They were removed from the radio after the controversial Switch for a Switch contest in which a listener was horribly mutated by a back alley madman posing as a doctor. There we go. And there we go. Sincere apology done. You know, and portions of that apology may be fiction or not. Who knows? All right, we got that out of the way. We are safe. What is there to talk about? Okay, yes. Then this is from a while ago, but it really got me thinking. And I wanted to share that with you because that's what this is all about. All right, so there's a TV show, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Great show. It's been on for close to 20 years, which is crazy. I think 19 years. And recently, the creator apologized for an episode. It was the very first episode, aired back in 2005. And he apologized for something on it. Now, the episode, they meet a guy, and he's black. And basically, the humor of the episode is them being idiots and trying their hardest not to be racist, but being racist because they're idiots. You know, my awesome juice. Excellent sauce, whatever it is. I'm going to have a drink of it. Please stand by. Okay. So this episode basically was making fun of them. Being racist, even though they were trying not to be. And obviously there were characters, three main characters, three guys. And it was, you know, it was fine. And obviously they used some racial stereotypes in the show because that's kind of where the humor comes from. It's showing how stupid they are, basically. The old, you know, like Archie Bunker back in the old days. He was a bigot, but it was acceptable because they were showing how stupid he was. So then, and I didn't want to look up the article, but this guy apologized and says they'll be better. Now, everyone back then and today understands that that episode wasn't racist. It was showing the stupidity of racism. Yes, using some stereotypes to get there, but that's how it's done. So in my opinion, to apologize for that now is more like him saying, yeah, we were actually trying to make fun of black people in that episode, and we're sorry. It makes it more racist. Everyone understands. I mean, no, and this is endemic of the current culture where, you know, this guy's name is Rob McElhenney. And, you know, he's pretty famous now. He owns a soccer team or something with Deadpool. And they have a TV show about that. And, you know, he's really very famous. So I guess that's why he feels like he has to do this. I don't understand. But no one thought it was racist until now. So this idiocy of apologizing for this show that aired 20 years ago in which you were basically making fun of racism, it's insane to me. Like, how are they so tone deaf? I don't understand it. I have never done a bit, anything, a show that I'm embarrassed about or that I'm ashamed of. You know, we don't go into racial humor on this podcast because, I don't know, it's kind of low-hanging fruit, in my opinion. We have so much more to do. We got to get that John Cena inspiring tweet. We got to inspire you. So, Frank and Beans, don't forget that. Also, I mean, OK Boomer, the most culturally relevant bit in radio history or in terrestrial podcasting history, as it were. You know, and we do these bits and we're not ashamed of anything. We don't go for the low-hanging fruit. So there's not even anything in our past that we would have to apologize for. But sometimes that stuff can be funny. It's kind of funny to see three idiots trying so hard not to be racist that they're being racist. It was kind of fun. It was a good episode. It was funny. I don't know who was calling for this guy to apologize. I don't know why he wouldn't realize how stupid it is to apologize, but he didn't. And I don't know. It's kind of sickening, you know. I lost so much respect for that guy. Still like his shows. I don't know him personally. But just bowing to the mob when you really had no reason to, and it's hurtful to do so. It's just sad. Because it's a good show. It's been on for 20 years. It's consistently pretty funny. You know, the quality on anything other than this podcast goes up and down, but they're still pretty consistently good. And it just upsets me that this guy's, you know, because, I mean, the apology only makes things, it seem more racist to me, as I said. I just want to get that off my chest. You know, in entertainment, everyone's under so much pressure. That's, you know, and as we were talking about with Cornetova earlier, you know, that's why we're good. You know, everything is contained in this building. We have nothing to apologize for. We have other, maybe the switch for a switch. But, I mean, that was just an accident. You know, we didn't plan it that way. And we can go on with a clear conscience and just do our good show. You know, we don't have to apologize for anything. We won't apologize for anything. If I did something like that, if I did some kind of racial humor, it would have been with the utmost care and respect and with good intentions. And I think that's what, you know, I don't think it was very disrespectful, that show back then, you know. And I wish I could remember more details of it. But they were, the three main characters were thinking in terms of traditional stereotypes. And you were seeing how stupid that was. So, I don't know. That's my opinion on that. I'm very disappointed, and I'm sure this will get back to him. He's probably an adorable boy disciple. But there we go. It's Always Sunny. You've really let me down. And by It's Always Sunny, I'm saying that guy because I don't want to say his name, Rob or whatever. I'm just going to call him It's Always Sunny. That works. All right. What else, Frankenbeans? Okay. There's a... Hi. Yeah. Who is this woman, Frankenbeans? She's handing me... Thank you. Get the headphones on, yeah. Get the headphones? Yeah, those... Yeah, okay, good. Oh, this is a new intern. Okay. Adorable Boy Disciples, we have some new interns starting. Finally got vetted. Very happy to have them here. Is it... Frankenbeans, is it warm in here? I mean, is it cold in here? She's got like a shawl with a really thick hood on. Yeah. A really long... It looks like a burlap dress. Yeah. Frankenbeans, send Vito in here so he can help her with the mic and the headphones. Thank you. She's not quite getting it. Yeah. Just one second. Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, here comes Vito. Thank you. Thank you, Vito. And just stay in because we got your thing to do too. Yeah. Do we have his thing ready, Frankenbeans? Okay, good. All right, yes. Okay, she's on the... Thank you, Vito. All right, hello, new intern. Very nice to meet you. I have your name written down here somewhere. Here we go. I know Frankenbeans. There it is. Okay. Ekaterina Zhugasvili. Very nice to meet you, Ekaterina. I'm sure we'll come up with a nickname for you. How are you liking the internship? How are you faring around here? Is everything good?
Я выросла в Саратове, в России.
Speak into the mic, okay? Can you... Yeah, into the mic. There we go. Yeah. Vito, hold it up for her. Thank you. So you're liking the internship?
Я теперь я иногда говорю по-русски только с моей мамой. Я, честно говоря, никому не знаю здесь, кто говорит по-русски. Я живу теперь в Нью-Йорке, и здесь, конечно, много из России.
Okay. Does she not speak English, Frankenbeans? She doesn't, and she's an intern for a podcast, an English podcast. And she's, I mean, dressed like a peasant. I don't mean to, she doesn't understand anyway, so. I think she has tissue boxes on her feet, Frankenbeans. I'm sure she had a great resume. Ugh. I guess this is what I get for hiring a producer who can't understand how to talk into a microphone. If you're new to the podcast, my producer, Frankenbeans, right there behind the glass. I can see him, and I can hear him, but he can't understand how to get his voice on the air. And it's been like that for a few years. I guess it's my fault. And now, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Show her back to, I don't know what she's been doing this whole time. She can't speak English. Vito, just show her back to wherever you had her. Frankie means, what are we going to do with an intern who doesn't speak English? All right, Vito. Get on the mic. Yeah. I need some excellence juice right now. That's what I need. Just give me a second. Walla Walla, Washington. That's good. Okay. Now, Vito, you got a thing you want to do, a new game. I've been, you know, I'm going to be more supportive of you. I promise that in the meetings. So what's this new game you have? Yo, hey, Spud. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I got this new great game. It's going to be great. It's called The Wrong Ray. Wrong Ray. Okay. Sure. I've heard of worse games. We have your song, too. Do we want to... Frank and Beans, can we play that? All right, put that up, Frank and Beans. So, Vito, you wrote this song for the game. Every game needs a good song. I like it. I like where you're going here. Let's play it. Can we play it, Frankie Beans? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go right ahead, Frankie Beans. It's all yours.
Two contestants at the door. We've got cash prizes and more. Just tell us which of these is the wrong way. A trip to Spain with a free ride in a plane. Or skiing up in Maine. It's the wrong way.
All right. Pretty cool. Not too bad, Frankie Beans. I mean, Vito, not too bad at all. Okay, so am I to surmise that you're giving the contestants, and I assume there's three, and they're at some kind of door. They're giving them these names, and they have to pick the wrong race. So what would a question? Do you have a sample question? Yeah, I got one, Spud. I got it all ready. I got the whole thing ready. So how about you tell us? Okay, yeah, it's like, I would be like, this Boston Bruins legendary defenseman never won the Stanley Cup. Okay, and I mean, that's Ray Bourque. Aw, Spud, but you gotta give me the wrong Ray. What do you mean? So you asked that question, I gotta tell you a Ray that it's not? Exactly, Spud. And you don't give any like choices so they can pick the wrong Ray? No, Spud. They gotta give me the wrong Ray. Cause it's called the wrong Ray. No, I know what it's called, but that doesn't make any sense. It's confusing. So you say this Boston Bruins defenseman never won a Stanley Cup and they have to name anyone named Ray other than Ray Bourque? Exactly. So they could say Ray Romano. Ding, 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 we got a winner. Frankie Beans, why did you know about this? All right. I think you got to work on it, Frankie Beans. I mean, why don't you help him, Frankie Beans? Vito, you got to work on it. This isn't going to work. No one's going to understand that. It's going to be mass confusion. The East Coast got the blues. It's a, you know. As Guns N' Roses would say. But you're so small-minded and you said that you would start being supportive. I am being supportive, Vito. If I wasn't being supportive, I'd have Donnie the limo driver throw you out of here right now. Okay? The wrong Ray... Okay, keep going the wrong way, Ray. The song is fine. Make the game match the song. Give them like three choices and... I don't know. Obviously, you came up with the name of the game before any other concept of it. But what you can't do is give them trivia and then have them name any other Ray than the one that's right. Whatever, Spud. Not whatever, Vito. Come on. We're fighting a war on Cowtown. We need quality content. You know, you want to be called a stooge by Jim Cornette? Go work for him. Give him the wrong Ray. I'm sure he'd do it. I'm not going to do it here until you have it pristine. do not come in here without an idea in your head. Okay? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Well, thanks for putting up with that, guys. Adorable boy disciples. Another thing, you know, another topic, big topic, Vince McMahon accused of many, many things. You know, and you can read, you know, what he was accused of, basically rape. He groomed, apparently, this woman is claiming that he groomed her, he hired her, kind of traded her off between him and wrestlers and other executives, made her do things, bought her things, gift like $15,000 gift cards, I think they alleged, and did some pretty vile stuff to her. And you know what? I mean, his reputation, that he says he's innocent, you know, okay, fair enough. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. Is it hard to believe that he did this stuff? I don't think so. You know, if you know Vince McMahon at all, he kind of has a reputation, not for this stuff, but for kind of being, you know, I don't know, promiscuous. And, you know, she claims it all happened basically in the last 5 years. And if he has a life of being a billionaire and finding women that will let him do whatever he wants, you know, it's conceivable that he would just keep, you know, if he would keep pushing that border, that limit, and try to get women to do even, you know, more insane things. I won't bring them up on here. It's a family show. But it's sad. It's and no matter what it's sad, it's sad if he did those things. It's sad if he didn't, that he's being accused of, you know. I will say it's interesting the timing of it right after WWE basically got bought by, you know, whoever owns UFC. And Vince was on the you know, still the chairman of the board or whatever. Chairman of the broad. Am I right, guys? That deserves some excellence juice or awesome juice or whatever I called it. You know, the timing is interesting. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. You know, her accusations could be completely true. I mean, I guess in America, we, and probably the whole world, at least the Western world, we assume things are wholesome, even though we know they're not. You know, with the whole Harvey Weinstein thing, you know, what he did to women, to girls, women and girls who wanted to be actresses, disgusting. You know, and how many people in the business knew about that? And as you know, you get to be an adult, you understand things like that happen. And why are we okay with that? You know, we're okay with it until we are confronted with it. You know, we all kind of, not everyone, you know, as adults, we all had a suspicion that things go on. And you know, things aren't as Hollywood likes to preach, you know, corporations like to preach, but in the end, you know, they're doing a lot of very bad stuff. You know, we really need to hold them accountable. I think we need to change that culture completely. You know, everyone was, how many actors and actresses knew what Weinstein was doing and didn't say anything because he was too powerful? And how many people knew what Vince McMahon was allegedly doing, if he did it? I don't know. To be fair to him, I don't know. Do I have a hard time believing it? Again, no. But how many people knew that? And until, you know, a certain time, you can't say anything about it. I think we really need to hold our, you know, and I hate to say it, idols. We need to hold them to high standards. And if they're doing things like this, they should be taken down. Not because, you know, of an opinion they give, not because of a tweet they make, but because of these actual crimes. Because, I mean, what this woman is alleging is, you know, other than murder, the worst crimes you can commit, I would think. That's how I feel. You know, things like this keep coming up. You have the whole Epstein thing. What celebrities, what powerful people were involved with that? We still don't know. They're still under the radar. We should demand to know. We should find out. And, you know, how do we do that? I don't know. But this really sheds light on a much more important issue, that the American public is happily blissful until they can't be anymore. So maybe we can change that. When people come out and say things, if they can be proven, if there's truth to them, we should support them. You know, and what this woman went, again, it does bear mentioning that this isn't a criminal suit, I don't think. I think it's completely civil. So, you know, I mean, who knows? I would never call someone a liar, you know, especially when I don't know. But, you know, the truth is what matters. So if the truth is that he did, that's what we need to know, and we need to punish him for it. If the truth is that he didn't, you know, that's another story. Because this is, whether he did or he didn't, I mean, and he's in his 80s, but whether he did or he didn't, his life is destroyed. You know, I mean, he'll still have, you know, he'll just fade. His public life is destroyed. Let me say that. Yeah, it's just sad. And, you know, I'm not so sure that anyone held up Vince McMahon much. I'm sure some people held him up as an idol. But it got me thinking, you know, when I was a kid and into adulthood, especially when I was a kid, you know, Hulk Hogan was the big thing. You know, Mr. America, you know, say your prayers, take your vitamins, do work out. And be the best you can be, you know, and that was what was sold. And he looked the way he was, you know, 6'6", 6'7", you know, 300 pounds of muscle. Looks like he sculpted out of marble, or, you know, choose whatever medium you like. But they sold that to us. And those are good in themselves. Those are good ideals. Say your prayers, you know, say your prayers if you believe in God. Yes. Or just, you know, meditate, think about things. You know, be a thoughtful person. That's, you know, what you can take from that if you don't believe in God. You know, be healthy, eat well, take your vitamins, make sure you keep your body healthy, do your exercise. You know, stand up for what's right. I mean, it's a classic song, maybe you don't know it, but his whole song is about him, how you should stand up for what's right, how you should have the courage not to back down. That was the song that he wrote that he walked into whenever he wrestled. Those are all great. Now, you know, in later years, we saw the real man, you know, and he was massively flawed. He wasn't those things. You know, he had an affair with his friend's wife that was videotaped. He had a kind of a sordid life. He came very, very short of embodying those ideals that were so true, but that, you know, an advertising team, a marketing team, put on him in the 80s, and he carried, and it worked. It didn't matter that the real guy was out in the bar drinking and, you know, doing whatever else. Because especially back then, there was no internet. Everyone didn't have a camera on them at all times. You know, you could sell that. You didn't have to see him in a bar. Some people did, and you know, whatever, obviously. But you could still sell that pure, you know, the ideals that America was built on, really. The marketing team, the team took him and said, let's make him this because he looks the part and he can do it. And he did. And, you know, does that mean because he turned out to not be that, you know, me as a little kid, you know, millions of other little kids, part of our morals were influenced by what they sold us. And is that a bad thing? You know, I mean, in a perfect world, they wouldn't be selling us something that's not true. They would find a man for that character who really did live up to it. But they didn't, you know. But, I mean, I know he was a big part of my young life. I was a big fan as a kid. They might call me a Hulkamaniac if you want. That was a good term. He should have used that. And maybe if you ask me, you know, 15 years ago when a lot of the sordid stuff started coming out, maybe I would have had a more cynical view of it. You know, I'm like, oh, man, even Hulk Hogan's not, you know, who I thought he was. Even that in my head was a pillar of morality and patriotism. You know, even he's a lie. But that's not my thought now. I'm thankful for those ideals being instilled inside me. And did it happen in kind of a false way? Yes. And that stinks. But those ideals are still true. We have to really focus not on people, not on marketing creations, not on on what we're fed. We have to distill the ideals that are good. Because if you instill those, if those are instilled inside of you and you follow them, they are never wrong. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, never wrong. Doesn't matter what America does, what immoral stuff America does, what clandestine stuff America does that none of us know about and that is terrible. The ideals are not that. That is betraying the ideals. So maybe we should stop following people, stop following groups, stop following, you know, giving allegiance, blind allegiance to things that are fallible and believe in those ideals, which as a person who believes in God, I think those ideals are a gift from God. I think he very purposely gave us those ideals. Because, you know, churches will fail you, priests will fail you, pastors will fail you, governments will fail you, anything will fail you. Family members will fail you once in a while. Friends will fail you. Those ideals will never fail anyone. Those ideals are absolutely perfect. Maybe the only thing on this earth that is perfect. So am I sad? Well, am I sad that Hulk Hogan wasn't the real American hero? Kind of, I guess. But the real American hero is something to strive for. There are real American heroes out there. They're probably not famous, but they're out there. People out there giving their best to live up to the ideals of not only America, but also what God wants. The charity and the compassion. Those cannot fail anyone. Churches, the Catholic Church, any church can fail you. It is human, it is fallible. Does that mean you should throw it completely out? No, I don't think so. But I think you should know that you're following ideals. You're following the ideals that God wants. You're following the ideals of this country. The only one, the first one, really the only one founded in these ideals. That's what makes us great. So yeah, I believe in the real American hero. I see them all the time. You know, when I'm out doing my charity work, when I'm anywhere and I see people cooperating, people being human to each other. Those are the ideals. The ideals isn't some guy named Terry who they put the character of Hulk Hogan on and he portrayed it as an actor, basically. No. The ideals of love your country, love yourself, love God. Be good to other people. You can't go wrong. Those are perfect. And you know, I'm glad that it brought me here. Again, you know, I don't feel betrayed. I don't wish Hulk Hogan never existed or that I never liked him. I like the ideals, and I still do. And those ideals are as important now as ever. And I think it's extremely important for our species, our civilization, to move on, that we stop, you know, focusing on people. You know, I love Joe Biden. I love Donald Trump. I love this. I love that. I love this guy. I love that girl. No, it's ideals. Trump can be wrong. Biden can and almost always is wrong. I'm a little biased, I guess. Not that I'm a huge Trump fan, but I mean, come on with this administration. Anyway, we shouldn't attach ourselves and marry ourselves to these people because they might fail you. They probably will fail you. Everyone fails you at some point, probably. But the ideals can never fail you, ever. And that's what the Adorable Boy podcast thinks. All right, there you go. Laid it bare for you, Adorable Boy disciples. All right, we got a little more time, Frankie, just a little more? Yeah, can we do the... Yeah, okay. Speaking of political candidates and the aforementioned Joe Biden, you know, it's re-election season. And, you know, Joe's having a tough time. He's going to need some slogans, and the Adorable Boy podcast is here to give it to him, to help him, because we like to help people in the spirit of cooperation across, you know, lines. We want to help him. So here we go. Play the music, Frankie Meese. Look at what it costs. Look at to the chief, pass the place, squad. Hail to the Chief, indeed. The office of the Chief. There we go. Okay. Very little time. We are running out of show. Let's get these possible Biden campaign slogans out there, and then we will say goodnight to all the adorable boy disciples. Nice, and we'll tuck you in. All right, here we go. First possible Joe Biden campaign slogan, make China great again. You know, make America great again has worked for Trump. Maybe make China great again will work for Joe Biden, because that seems to be, you know, part of his goal. And instead of MAGA, it could be MICA, which we'll have to clear with the lawyers, make sure it's not, you know, offensive to Irish people. But MCGA, MICA, make China great again for Joe Biden. Very nice. All right. Next one. Hey, malarkey, I got China and Russia together. Again, you know, I mean, if we're going to go with his accomplishments, we're going to highlight his accomplishments and then throw in a familiar word. We all know he likes to say malarkey, probably repeatedly for no reason. But, you know, let's, you know, he got China and Russia to work together, to band together against us. So there's an accomplishment. All right. Here's the next one. Don't you want to see how high prices can go? You know, I mean, you go to the grocery store, my people tell me who do my shopping, prices through the roof. You know, let's challenge. America likes a challenge. Let's see, hey, maybe I can get them to go even higher. Maybe I can actually get people to lie on the street starving to death. So there we go. There's another one. Another possible Joe Biden 2024 campaign slogan. All right, next one. January 6th. Boom. Remind them of, you know, that. And I put in air quotes, insurrection. Remind them, you know, just keep that going. Insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. Trump told them to do it. Trump told them to do it. Get that, you know, you got to subliminally put that in their minds. All right. Here's another one. Listen, Hunter needs another laptop. Laptops aren't cheap. You know, the president needs a job. Joe Biden needs a job so that he can afford a new laptop for Hunter, because the other one got confiscated, which we now, you know, are sure that it existed, because some people weren't apparently before. But yeah, Hunter needs a new laptop. Appeal to the Americans' desire to help a father provide for his 50-year-old son. All right, the next possible 2024 campaign slogan for Mr. Joe Biden. H-U-H, very simple, remind you of where Biden is at and what you'll hear a lot of for another 4 years if you elect him, or, you know, however many years he makes it. Just, huh? A big H-U-H question mark, you know, very, put red, white, and blue. Perfect. Perfect. All right, the next one. Next possible Joe Biden 2024 campaign slogan. That toddler smells like berries. That toddler smells like berries. Good one. You know, Joe is famous for sniffing people. So just remind them of that. And, you know, everyone loves a toddler. Bring that in. Berries, you know, there's, you go into the store, plenty of berry flavored shampoos or scented shampoos. Though maybe he eats shampoo too, I don't know. Put that in there. That toddler smells like berries. Perfect. All right, next one. Don't blame me. I pretend to be Catholic. You know, we've only really had one Catholic, Roman Catholic president. Let's remind people of that. 2024, you know, don't blame me is more, you know, don't blame me for any of the bad stuff that's happening. And yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that one, but that's okay. The next one, remember Matlock? I mean, that seems like it would work. Remember Matlock? I'm sure Joe enjoys a nice episode of Matlock and a grilled cheese and tomato soup on a rainy day, you know, as war breaks out all over the world. Remind people of Matlock, another kindly old man. All right, and the last possible Joe Biden 2024 presidential slogan. If I pee my pants, we just make it rain to hide the wet. You know, there we go. His voters seem to like excuses. There we go. You know, they manipulate the weather. No embarrassment. I believe that's been done dozens of times for Biden. They've made it rain to hide the fact that he urinated in his pants. I think he'd be good with any of those possible 2024 campaign slogans. Oh, right. What a episode. What a show. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Adorable Boy Podcast. We're running out of show. So much fun. Had so much fun. Went by in a flash. I've cooled down a little bit. I'm going to work with Frank and with Vito, the vegan Guido, on that game, The Wrong Ray. We'll make it work, I think. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I got another, it's another intern, and she's dressed very similarly to the other one. Very thick, almost burlap shawl with a hood on. It's not, we're inside. Okay, Vito's coming in to help. Get on the mic. Get her on the mic again. Yeah. All right, and I have your name too. Okay. Our last one was named Ekaterina Zhugashvili. And let's see what the name of this intern, this new intern is. Like, where is the paper? Where is the paper? Yeah, get her on the mic. Get her on the mic there, Guido. Vito. Vito the vegan Guido. All right, so what is her name? Okay. Ekaterina. She has the same exact name as her other intern. Frankie Beans, don't we have like thousands of applicants for our intern program? 4,000, yeah. And you chose two girls named Ekaterina who dress very similarly. And the first one doesn't speak English. Ekaterina, number two, I guess. How are you today? Are you doing okay? How do you like your internship?
От морето и започнали нови строежи веднага след края на туристическия сезон. Това предизвика възмущение в социалните мрежи. Граждани публикуваха снимки и клипове с изграждането.
Okay. All right. Boy. So Frankie means two interns cannot speak English. Interns for an English language podcast. I don't know what Frankie means. I don't know. You know, I want to be supportive of my team, but I got Vito with this garbage game about wrong rays that might end up getting us sued. And then you, who out of thousands of candidates, you chose two women with the same name who cannot speak English to be interns. What are they going to do? What good are they to us? All right, well, I'm getting nothing, Frankenbeans. So that's what we're going to call an end to this edition of the Adorable Boy Podcast. Thank you again for joining us. I'm going to sort all this out. I'm a peacemaker. I'm a winner. We'll get it done. Ekaterina, thank you. Ekaterina, too. Yes. Vito, thank you. Frankenbeans, thank you. Thank you, Adorable Boy Disciples. Once again, we will see you next time on the Adorable Boy Podcast.